I'm excited about this. So if you have your Bibles, open to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, and stand to your feet. And we'd just like to honor the reading of God's word. Acts chapter 16. You know, we began a series 2 weeks ago. This will be the third week now, called Supernatural. We've been just coming out of the Halloween season. A lot of attention, a lot of focus. I didn't realize until this year what a big deal Lahaina made out of Halloween. And I'm not a big fan of Halloween, but it made me realize, guys, put this on your radar right now. I think Halloween next year, we need to have a massive outreach. We need to have some kind of offering here from KC Lahaina. God, the church needs to respond. If the world's going to offer all of their goodies on Halloween night, then boy, how much more should the church step up in that regard? And so we'll plan on that next year. But, just kind of looking at some of this, I always inevitably get questions, about ghosts and about, demons and how all this stuff operates. And so this has just been a fun series. We've been exploring some of those things. And but Acts chapter 16, verse 16, are you there? All right, I think it's up on the screen there for you. Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us. You know what divination is, like divining. This is like divine revelation as a fortune teller, essentially. A spirit of divination, that's the Greek word, by the way, pythos, is where we get the python spirit, the way that she was mocking the ministry, all of this. The spirit of divination, who brought her masters much fortune, much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." This is mockery if you're not catching the tone there. This she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, pause right there. Listen, I've heard individuals really criticize Paul, but God showed me this just this last week as I was studying this verse. Paul got all fired up, and he wasn't yelling at this girl, you understand? He wasn't irritated with this girl, but he was irritated with the spirit that was upon this girl. I mean, look what it says. It says that he turned and he spoke to who? He spoke to the Spirit. Everybody say the Spirit. That's who Paul was speaking to. And so if you ever hear me, I mean, I pray with authority over my children. And listen, when I'm praying, Lord, watch over them, cover them, let no demonic thing come upon them. God, if I'm praying, break down spiritual strongholds, I'm not praying a cute, pretty prayer like I would, like, okay, good night, Gabriel. If I'm rebuking the devil and I sense something that's going on, I mean, I'm treating this as my wife puts it, like a dirty dog that's come into the house is trying to bite my kids or something. You're not going to deal with that thing lightly, right? You shouldn't, okay? And so you get some ugly, unclean spirit to come in the house, you can be greatly annoyed with that, okay? And so continuing, this she did for many days, verse 18, Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. That's important. That means it wasn't immediate. It wasn't one word. It may take you pray a couple times, release it, but it came out within the hour. And when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. Now, Lord, I just pray that you would bless this message. We know you're a supernatural God. And we know, God, that when there is supernatural activity, demonic, or spiritual around us, God, we thank you. You're greater than all of those things, Lord Jesus. And I pray, even as Paul operated in an authority, Lord, and he discerned, he recognized, this isn't just a girl who's being obnoxious here. This is a spiritual issue. I pray by the same measure, God, let us discern when things that are going on around and about us are spiritual in nature, or, Lord Jesus, natural in nature. God, I pray that you would release a new covering, a new mantle upon our lives, God, to operate in spiritual authority, God, not just ministers and leaders, but God, for each and every one who has come into your presence, who has received your redemption, if the Spirit of God resides on the inside of us, Lord, we pray, release a new measure of authority in each and every one of us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may go ahead and be seated. This is another story, awesome, that demonstrates the supernatural. Here's a girl who is fortune-telling through demonic spirits. She follows Paul. The spirit comes out, and the men who are making money from this were upset. And understandably so, you know, this is no longer, their hopes of making money is gone. This girl who had prophesied or given a false prophecy, rather fortune-telling through this demonic spirit, now she's been delivered. And so this speaks to us greatly about the reality of the spiritual world. The first week we talked about the fact that everything that we see around us was created out of the unseen world. Do you guys understand that? Think about that for a moment. The spiritual realm is more real than anything, than the chair you're sitting on, than the person that's physically next to you. I mean, everything that we in the natural was created out of an unseen realm. God speaks a word and the word goes into existence. I mean, this is crazy when you begin to think about this. The Bible says that God is spirit. And let me clue you into something. Did you know that you are a spirit? Okay, that was kind of weak. Let me try. I heard like two people over here, but I can tell you guys are more in agreement. Did you know that you are spirit? This is wild. C.S. Lewis said this. I mean, you might look in the mirror and you see your face, and you know, I look in the mirror. Sometimes I see mine and I like what I see, and other times I'm like, I've been eating a little bit too much Filipino food and I'm picking up some weight here. But I look and sometimes I don't care for what I see. But here's the deal. C.S. Lewis said this. This is profound. Think about this. He said, "We are a spirit. We have a body." We are a spirit. We have a body. We think about it the other way around. Like, I look in the mirror, this is who I am, and I also have a spirit, and I also have a soul. No, that's not scripture. That's not good theology right there. You are a spirit. Guys, one day this body is going to perish. One day this body is going to be put in the dirt. It's going to return back to dust. But my spirit, your spirit, is going to continue throughout all eternity. And so this is an important concept to grasp, because we operate this way, whether you know it or not. Every person around us operates this way, and this is how God operates. We need to be inclined to the supernatural around us. Just because we don't see it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. There is a kingdom of darkness, and there is a kingdom of light that is all around us. And Jesus is superior over all spirits, over all darkness. Last week, we looked at the fact that Jesus is not only in heavenly places above these demonic forces, but listen, you are too. You hear me on that? If you have been born again, if you have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you, listen, there is no biblical right by which the enemy can torment you any longer unless you are giving him place in your life. If you are, shut the door, repent of sin, whatever you need to do, and let's take authority. Guys, I am so, it's one of my greatest passions, but I am so irritated by seeing believers walking around defeated and harassed by the enemy all the time, because I know you don't need to be. We have freedom, we have liberty, and so nobody, I hope, is getting scared over this series, because you have power. Everybody say that, I have power. In the name of Jesus. And that's important. Philippians 2:9, this is a good verse to memorize. Therefore, God has highly exalted Jesus and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, you can force demons to make, if you ever have this encounter, you ought to just, even if you sense something nasty going on in your house, your kid wakes up with a night terror or something, Read this verse and remind the devil, do you understand, Satan, that you are under the authority of Jesus Christ, that even your tongue must confess Jesus is Lord, that your knee must bow at the mighty name of Jesus. It is a good exercise to remind the devil often of his defeat and his position under Jesus and under your feet. You know, that's what Romans 16:19 says. He says that the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. Everybody say, my feet. In fact, right now, why don't you give the devil a good stomping? Right, yeah, there you go. So he's under your feet. And so don't be scared of the devil. Read your Bible. If you see a confrontation between Jesus and a demon, who's screaming? The demon is screaming. And it wasn't just Jesus. The same thing happened with Paul and the other apostles. In fact, I had a neat experience a couple months ago. This was right before we moved here. I was down. We used to do a Bible study every week with the homeless. And so I was doing a men's Bible study with the homeless about a good 45 minutes away from the church that I held an office in. And so I get a call in the middle of my Bible study, and Pastor Jacob, somebody is manifesting demons in the offices, and all of the pastors are gone. Like, everybody was out on vacation. Nobody was around. And so, okay, I'm 45 minutes away, but I'm going to get there as soon as I can. And so we wrap up the Bible study. I get in the car. I drive back to the church, and I walk into the room, and there's all, like, the finance ladies. Again, all the pastors were gone. It's all the finance ladies, like three people in there, and they're all, I mean, I walk into this room, and I see this lady hunched over. She's vomited all over the ground, and she's, like, growling and moaning and all this kind of stuff, and I got three finance ladies who are just praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost, and, you know, I walk in. I don't know what you would think if you walk into a situation like this, but I walk in and I'm like, oh, this is going to be fun. Because I knew these ladies for the last 45 minutes, they've been setting an atmosphere in the Spirit. I mean, I could sense the Spirit of God. And boy, this demonic spirit, whatever it was real agitated in this lady. And so, you know, I had them, you know, help this lady to her feet. And this was something that one of my spiritual father's mentors taught me, Dr. Carol Thompson. He was a great deliverance ministry, one of the co-founders of Christ for the Nations. He'd always put people up against the wall, and just so, you know, they can't run away, all this kind of stuff. Because I don't like when, you know, somebody's manifesting, well, let's just get 10 guys and hold them on the ground. I don't like that. Okay, so we just take them, you hold them, you know, just put your back up against the wall. Let's pray. So, let me tell you something funny. Should I say it? You're going to meet this guy in a couple weeks. So Dr. Thompson, this is a complete bunny trail, but this is a funny story. Dr. Thompson, even for students who would go in for deliverance ministry, he'd always ask, you know, just go ahead and stand against the wall. And it was practical, too. If people get hit by the Holy Ghost, you know, and they're wanting to fall out, a lot of times he was praying for students on his own, and this guy was in his 90s, and so he's not going to go and catch somebody if they're falling out. So he'd just have them just go ahead and stand up against the wall. So you'd stand against the wall, and he'd pray for you. And if you got manifesty on him, then you know, you couldn't run. And if you were falling out under the power of God, then, you know, the wall was there to catch you. So it was wisdom, you know. And so anyway, I had received powerful deliverance. My friend had received powerful deliverance. And we were telling one of my good friends, he's actually coming here in a couple weeks. You're going to meet him. And we said, bro, you need to receive deliverance. This is so incredible. God's going to transform the way you think. The way the devil's harassing you is going to end. And so we go in there. And Dr. Thompson, man, this guy was somber. I mean, he's one of those, like, intense men of God. You meet these people that just always look serious, you know, but he had this authority about him. So anyway, we go in there, and my friend, he begins to explain to him what's been going on. And so Dr. Thompson says, okay, go ahead and stand up against the wall. And so my friend goes, and this is what he does. He goes, he stands up, and he goes against the wall. And Dr. Thompson, 90-year-old, like, he was 92 at the time, he looks at me and my other friend while my buddy's up against the wall. He looks at us, and he starts laughing at but he was nervous. You know, he didn't know. Here's this, you know, demon, you know, this exorcist guy, and he doesn't know what to expect. So anyway, completely beside the point. So Dr. Thompson, here is the back to the story. He taught me this whole principle, put him up against the wall. So I go into this scene. Woman is, you know, manifesting demons. Ladies are praying. And so I say, you know, go ahead and let's stand up against the wall. And as I begin to minister to this lady, I've seen this on numerous occasions. Maybe you guys have seen this too. Various different voices begin to come out of this woman, you know, different, you know, demonic entities. And so, you know, my general method is I just just command the thing to come out, just like Paul did. You know, you read there, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out. You know, you pray what Jesus prayed with the bent over woman, loose her and let her go. And many times you'll see that thing immediately go. But sometimes they want to hold on because the devil has been given legal access to occupy this human vessel. And so that's where you do then what Jesus did with the demoniac. Hey, what is your name? And generally, the nature of the demonic spirit that is oppressing is connected to the sin or the open door that it was given. And what I mean by that is, you know, if they come out and they say, my name is hatred. You understand, this woman has given place to hatred in her heart, and there needs to be repentance over this. And so the interesting thing, and this is the reason I'm sharing this whole story anyway, as this woman began to manifest demonic power, I mean, you could tell that demon would come out the gate with all intimidation. I mean, it's growling, it's snarling, it's yelling at me, you know, spewing accusations, all this kind of thing. But once I identified what it was, we led this woman to repentance. And then I said, hey, I want to talk to that spirit again. And this demon spirit would come back up. And guys, the second time that this spirit began to manifest, it wasn't snarling, it wasn't angry. I saw absolute terror in its face. Why? Because the legal basis by which it had been oppressing this woman had now been nullified because of the blood of Jesus, forgiving her, washing her, setting her free. And so now I saw this incredible fear and terror come into her because Jesus is more powerful. Jesus is more powerful. If you release God's forgiveness, if you release the authority of his blood, the authority of his word, guys, demons ought to be afraid of you. Demons ought to be afraid of you. Do you know this? I mean, I want this to be like every morning that I get up, I want the devil to be afraid. Where is he going to go today? Who's he going to impact today? I mean, this really should be our mentality. And so, you know, it's supernatural. We get light and darkness, and God overcomes all darkness. Amen? Amen. Look at Acts. You don't have to turn there. But in Acts chapter 8, verse 19, we see an interesting thing, another kind of confrontation. We see Simon the sorcerer. And Simon sees Philip the evangelist working mighty signs and wonders and miracles. He looks at this and he wants it. Because he sees a supernatural God operating in power, it makes this guy want to get saved. Guys, I love the supernatural. And it's for this. This is why I'm not afraid to talk about demons. This is why I'm not afraid to talk about crazy healing miracles, even if everybody's not going to believe what I'm saying, is because I know. What I've discovered, and you saw this in Jesus' day as well, it's never the unsaved, it's never the uneducated who get weirded out by supernatural stuff. It's always the Pharisees. It's always these guys who are steeped in religion. They're the ones that are like, man, that makes me uncomfortable when that kind of stuff happens. I don't like this whole manifestation thing. I don't want to pray for something that's going to make me uncomfortable. Guys, unbelievers love this kind of stuff. I mean, I lead with this kind of stuff in evangelism all the time. You know, oh, I don't like that worship song. Forget about that. Have you ever felt like, you know, nightmares? You ever had supernatural experiences, any of that? I'll ask people this kind of stuff. God is supernatural. He wants to release the supernatural. The New Testament church operated in the supernatural. You know, I've heard a lot of people say they were naturally supernatural. You know, Peter is walking, you know, going to prayer, and something happened. He sees a beggar, right? And, you know, next thing you know, this guy is standing to his feet. He's jumping. He's praising God. He gets healed miraculously. I mean, would be to God we'd see some of that kind of stuff. Yeah, I mean, some of you come to me with testimonies like this. I want to see shadows begin to heal people and all that kind of stuff. But the supernatural is real. And I'm using this for a reason, this word supernatural. The supernatural is real. But understand, all supernatural activity is not from God. And all supernatural activity has a source. Okay, I'm going to say that again. All supernatural activity is not God. And all supernatural activity, did I say that right? Not all supernatural activity is God. All supernatural activity has a source. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, But test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. And by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is already in the world. This is a great test. You want to know, is this spirit that's operating, is this God or is this not? You begin to present the lordship of Jesus Christ, the reality of God coming in the flesh. This is why you look at Islam, for example. They say, we believe in the same God. The problem is, they don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe that this is the Son of God. They don't believe that this is God come in the flesh. They believe that he was a prophet speaking about God. And listen, if you don't believe that Jesus has come in the flesh, that God has come in the flesh, that Jesus Christ is Lord, we're not worshiping the same God. My response, and I've had Muslims tell me flat out to my face, no, we worship the same God. And you know what my response is? Your God is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? If so, then yeah, we do worship the same God. If not, then absolutely no, we do not. And so that phrase right there, Paul used frequently, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's our God. That's your God. Amen? And so, so test the spirits. And the Antichrist spirit is literally Antichrist. It literally means against the anointing. Christ means the anointed one, or the Messiah, the anointed one. So Antichrist literally means against the anointing. Okay, so when you hear about an Antichrist spirit, I'm telling you, when you see this python thing that was messing with Paul and following them around and mocking their ministry and hindering this, that's an Antichrist spirit that's operating. Even when you see religious people that say, nah, we don't need to be laying hands on people and seeing that, that's an Antichrist spirit. That's what Timothy talked about, having a form of godliness but denying the power. I'm telling you, church, we're always going to be a church that you're going to hear people praying in the Holy Ghost. You're going to see us laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. We're always going to talk about supernatural things like casting out demons and all of this, because if we ever become ashamed of these things, guys, I'm convinced within my heart, we're not a church that's glorifying Jesus anymore. In fact, we become antichrist in nature, against the anointing. If the anointing begins to flow, Holy Spirit, you do what you will. You do what you desire to do. Amen? Amen. And so this Antichrist spirit. Now I think there is a literal Antichrist. And this is my personal belief. I believe that he's already been born. I believe that he's on the earth. And here's the deal. He's not going to look like some crazy, skinhead, angry, hateful guy. I mean, this is going to be a very presentable type of person. You understand? I mean, this guy, you know what his message is going to be? The Revelation talks about this thoroughly. One of these days, I want to do a whole series on the book of Revelation. I love this. But the message of the last days, what is going to draw people in, is the message of peace and safety and unity. That sounds Christian, doesn't it? Peace. We need to be at peace with everybody, with all religions. We need to be safe because, boy, the world is a dangerous place. And this guy's going to have a strategy to end warfare and to bring peace into the earth. And it'll work. It really, he will cause a cease to much of the war that's going on in the world. And then he's talking about unity. We need to be unified with all of our, but what's going to happen is once he draws everybody under this same umbrella where Muslims and Christians and atheists and Buddhists and all of these various religions of the earth, we're gonna live peaceably with one another. But then you see this bait and switch thing where then he begins to present himself to be worshipped in place of this unit. I mean, but his message coming out the gate is going to be peace and safety and unity. And so we need to be so discerning in this day and age, church. Are they preaching the lordship of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone? If they're not, it's antichrist in nature. Does this make sense? Okay, so I want to talk about a couple things because, in this Halloween kind of season, I get people that ask me about, what about ghosts and what about werewolves? And, we see all this coming out on TV. And so here's just a couple fun topics to talk about, okay? Number one, I want to share about witches and warlocks, okay? These things are real. They are not all Satanists. Just so you know, when you're dealing with witches and warlocks, sometimes, you know, you'll have these guys that are in a religious system that outright, it's satanic worship. But other times you'll have these guys that they tap into what they call a universal spirit. There's a spirit in the universe. They might have different words to describe what that is, Kai or, whatever, chakra or, you know, all this kind of thing. They tap into a universal spirit. But this is what the Bible says, Deuteronomy 18:9. When you come into a land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not follow the abominations of these nations. They shall not be found among you. Anyone who makes his son or daughter to pass through the fire, I'll talk about that, to pass through the fire, one who practices witchcraft or a soothsayer, one who interprets omens, this is like a, you know, demonic dream interpreter, okay? A sorcerer, one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, one who calls up the dead, For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. Because of these abominations, the Lord your God will drive them out before you. This is do you know God takes this stuff seriously? This is why, again, you go to Jesus for revelation. What am I supposed to do with my life next? Listen, go to prophetic conference. Come down to an altar time. I want to do something real soon here and do a full-on prophetic training. I'm hoping that within about 6 to 8 months here in KC Lahaina, we can have a fully functioning prophetic team that anybody who wants to come into the house of God, they don't have to wait until September every year to receive a prophetic word or a moment that I'm praying for them or something. We're going to have a whole team of individuals who are equipped and prophesying accurately the will. But what you don't want to do is if you're looking for direction and the pastor didn't call you out last Sunday, well, I'm just going to call Cleo or whoever is you guys remember Cleo. She was exposed as a fraud. But still, people are looking to that kind of stuff. I'm going to go and have my palm read. I'm going to go and have, you know, look at the tarot cards. This is witchcraft. And this is don't open that door in your life. Don't look to anything outside of Jesus. You know, this is what he was talking about. If you ever wonder what that passing through the fire, there was a god in that day called Moloch. And literally what they would do is they would form, they would build these brass or iron idols. And what they would do is Moloch, ugly god, you can search for him online, he's real ugly looking, but he would stretch out his hands. And so you'd have this hollowed out iron metallic statue, and he would hold out his hands like this. And what they would do to honor their god Moloch, they would build a fire inside of this god, and they would take a newborn child, they would take a baby, and they would put it in the hands now of this raging hot idol. I mean, it's a deplorable act. I believe that this spirit of Moloch is the same thing that we see manifesting in the realm of abortion, giving sons and sacrificing sons and daughters that the Lord has a will and an intention for, but instead they're perishing even before they have the opportunity to live. And this isn't condemnation. If you've had an abortion, there's redemption. But I'm just telling you, this is the spirit that we're seeing operating still in the world today. Does that make sense? So this is the god Moloch. They would literally put their sons and daughters. And you see this. We were in Haiti years ago, several years ago, and the missionary was talking about the voodoo services, about how the voodoo priest would come in. And she was the one leading this. It's kind of like KC. They've got different extensions all over Haiti. And so she was leading this area that we went and did some ministry in. Her dad, she said, when she was a young girl, took her into a full-on voodoo service. They go in there, and they said it was formatted very much like a Christian worship service. They came in, and they sang songs, and they played their drums, and there was dancing, and all, like an animated kind of service. And then the priest gets up, and he asks, is there anybody who needs healing or a miracle to be released for your family? And he offered up prayers for all of them, but he said, if you want to see the miracle manifest in your body, in your family, if you want to see them protected from the spirits that would harm them, what you need to do is you need to take your firstborn child and you go to this certain cliff that was there, and you cast them off the cliff into the ocean. And as Jody was her name, as she was there and she's hearing this, she's like, that is ridiculous. Who in the world would do something like that? But she said the next day, Her and her father and a couple other team members were fishing out newborn babies that had been cast into that river, or cast into the ocean, and had been killed, given as a sacrifice. And they were filling up, I think she said on that day, seven different coffins and having services for these children. It's real stuff. And you know, and some of these guys, this may surprise you, but as you go around and you talk to these individuals, you know what? They'll say, this blew my mind when I first started asking, because I asked in India, and I asked in Haiti, and these different places where they're blatantly worshiping other gods. And I used to want to come out the gate and listen, if you want to see something real, you just need to believe in Jesus. And they would counter with, well, my uncle did get healed when we did these practices. And they legitimately had been. But the problem is, there are supernatural powers outside of God. But these demonic powers, the problem with these things is there's always a cost. There's always a price. There's always bondage. You might get healed, but you might get demon possessed. You might get healed, but your son or daughter die. There is a cost that comes. But the way that Christianity is radically different than this is, guess what? Jesus Christ has already paid the price. He's already shed the blood. There's already been a human sacrifice. There's no need. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to deserve it. You don't have to sacrifice anything. Listen, I'm not going to tell you that just because you tithe, you're going to get a miracle or you're not. I've seen plenty of non-tithers get healed. And why? Because God is good. Because he loves you, and you don't have to earn it. Now, you ought to be faithful in the tithe. That's not what I'm saying. But if you're tithing to prove your loyalty to God so he'll give you a miracle, boy, that's not the heart with which you give. If you're attending church every day so you can earn his acceptance, that's not the reason that you attend. We attend because we glorify, we worship the Lord. There's something powerful in the assembling of ourselves together. I believe that God manifests his presence in a way he doesn't anywhere we gather corporately together. But I'm telling you, if you're trying to earn your salvation through giving or serving or doing or attending any of this, no, Jesus has already paid for it, and you can't do anything more to earn or deserve what he wants to pour out on your life. Let that liberate you right there, okay? That's Jesus, and he's Lord of all. And so, in dealing with, these demonic kind of things, here's the bottom line. If it's not Jesus, if it's not the Holy Spirit, don't touch it, okay? Don't touch it. Now I get people that ask me every once in a while, what about some of these shows where you see mediums talking to dead relatives? This is another thing that he talked about in this passage I just read out of Deuteronomy 18. It talks about mediums and these who would communicate with the dead, communicate with dead relatives. And I know there's people constantly that they feel like they have unfinished business. Boy, I really wish that I would have said this to my uncle before they died. I wish I would have said this to my brother before. And so they'll seek out a medium that they believe can communicate with this. Guys, if it's not Jesus, don't touch it. If it's not Jesus, don't touch it. Now listen, if you got something like that, you talk to the Lord about it. I feel like there's been a time or two where, I mean, there was one thing in particular, and this is just between me and Steve Hill, but I felt like there was a question that I had been asked by him years previous that I'd given him a half-truth answer to. Okay? And I felt guilty over this when he passed away and when he died. And I'm just like, God, I want to let him know, look, this is what happened. And so I did two things. First of all, I prayed about it. And I said, God, if it's within your power, let him know. But then I did another thing, and it was the next closest thing that I do. I wrote his wife, Jerry Hill, a message, and I said, hey, this is a conversation that we had when I was in Bible school, and I felt like I gave a half answer. And so, and she just, man, oh, I know what Steve would say in this kind of situation, and just exhorted me and built me up. And I mean, there it was done. But what I'm not going to do is hit my knees and pray to Steve Hill. What I'm not going to do is go to a medium and say, hey, could you communicate with him and just send him this one message? I want to make sure that he knows. I'm not doing that. This is something that is detestable in God's eyes. And so, again, you know, there is an interesting deal in the Bible. I thought I wrote this down, but maybe I didn't. In 1 Samuel, there was an interesting deal where, you might remember this, King Saul is in a distressing situation, okay? He's stressed out, and he wants to go to the prophet Samuel and ask for his advice on this certain situation. And the interesting thing, happens, he goes to a medium. This is punishable by death in his nation, and he's the king. He goes to a medium who begins to conjure up Samuel and two very interesting things happen in this situation. First of all, the prophet Samuel himself shows up. This is nutty, okay? This is crazy. It is possible. I'm telling you, there is real power in some of these demonic things, but we're not going to touch it. We're not going to touch it, okay? Because there's answers in Jesus. Here's the deal, though. Samuel shows up and he rebukes King Saul. In fact, the lady who had hit the medium there who had conjured up, I mean, she freaks out. And this tells me that she was probably a fraud, and this was the first time that she'd seen this actually work. That's my opinion, that she was a fraud. And when the prophet Samuel actually showed up and began to speak to them, I mean, the Bible talks about the fear that came upon her. And so, some people think that she was afraid because then she realized that it was the king and, you know, maybe she was facing the death penalty. But it was a very interesting. So there's some reality to this. Now, if you ever come to me and you're trying to conjure me after I've died, I am not leaving heaven to come talk to you. It's not going to happen, okay? And there is something that you know, the Bible talks about what they would call familiar spirits. Have you ever heard this phrase, familiar spirit? Now, in the demonic realm, in witchcraft circles and whatnot, what they call us familiar. And some of you, this didn't strike me until years later. But anybody ever watch? You guys are Christian, so you probably didn't. The TV show Sabrina, the Teenage Witch. Right? So you guys know what I'm talking about, some of you. I mean, this was like in the 90s, okay? But I was little, and you know, people would turn it on every once in a while. And there was a cat in that show that they called a familiar. And in that cat lived the uncle, I think it was the uncle, it was some relative to Sabrina there. And I know, this sounds goofy, but people believe this kind of stuff. And there are people that believe that the spirit of their dead ancestor has gone into their cat or into their dog or into their goat or whatever it might be. And this is what those outside of Christianity would call a familiar. This is a familiar. That which can channel the spirit. Now, again, we're not touching this, but I want you to be aware. We're just talking about some freaky kind of stuff, okay? The Bible talks about familiar spirits. And what a familiar spirit is, it's really simple. We complicate this, but what a familiar spirit is, those who are familiar with your life, okay? There are demonic spirits that know where I was born. I mean, I could die. And I could go, and you guys, and you're not going to do this, but if somebody wanted to, I got some aunts in Mexico that practice Santeria, and maybe one of them would want to go and try and conjure me up or something like that. I'm not coming back. But there could be a familiar spirit that comes back that looks like me, that sounds like me, and knows every detail of my life. They know that I was born in Germany. They know that my dad left when I was 2 years old. They know when I moved to the United States. They know they know every detail of my life, when I went to Bible school and who I was married to and who my best friend was and the good things and the bad things. These are familiar spirits, okay? And so there are demonic spirits. And so a lot of times when you have people come and, again, there's some weird stuff that happens in Scripture. Is it possible that somebody like Samuel could actually come back from eternity and speak and do something? Biblically, yeah, maybe. It wasn't right, and it shouldn't be happening. But there's also this thought that, you know what, sometimes the activity that you see going around, boy, that's not your grandma that's coming to say hi to you. This is a familiar spirit, and that thing should not be. That makes sense. Okay, so I'm just, again, this is just like freaky stuff here. Number two, false prophets. What about false prophets? The Bible said, I've already talked about this a little bit, they said that they would come. A prophet is from God. This is how you know. It's a prophet, they're constantly directing things back to Jesus. Prophecy is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit's job solely is, the Holy Spirit has one job, and it's to direct people towards Jesus. If I release a prophetic word over your life, it should be something that says, you know what, if I begin to pursue this, it's going to draw me closer to God. I'm going to be nearer to Jesus. I'm going to be fulfilling his will. If it's not, if it's something that drives you away, listen, you need to leave the church. You need to leave your wife because some great success is going to come upon your life. Leave your family and go start this business and you're going to make millions. Is that a good prophet? Absolutely not. It's contrary to scripture. This isn't anything that the Lord would exhort you to do. And so guard, you know, again, test the spirits, test. What are we seeing? What are we hearing in this? I was reading the book of Ezekiel this last week, and man, this was mind-blowing to me. I mean, part of the problems is in Ezekiel's day is God was calling people to repentance. You know, there was war that was getting ready. There was captivity that was getting ready to come upon the Israelites in Ezekiel's day. The problem was God was speaking to Ezekiel, listen, this is what's going to happen. This is the message of repentance that I want you to go and carry. And so many people, by the time you get to chapter 10 in Ezekiel is ready to give up the ministry because people hate his message of repentance. They hate this idea that, guess what? God's not happy with every decision that our nation has made. And if we don't change our ways, then there's going to be some rough times ahead of us. People hated that message. Ezekiel, you're just so judgmental. You're so negative. You're so gloom and doom. And Ezekiel, by chapter 10 and 11, wanted to quit the ministry. You've ever had these moments in your life? If it's not easy for you, guess what? You're in good company, okay? Jesus questioned going to the cross. Father, is there another way, okay? This is not uncommon when times get tough to say, God, is this really what you have me doing? It's not always easy to serve the Lord, okay? So Ezekiel, you know, he's getting these words and God's taking him around and showing him, look at these people. They say that they worship me, but here they are. He shows them they're worshiping the sun. And look over here. Here's these people in there and they're giving offerings. I mean, they were doing the same thing that we read about in Deuteronomy. People sacrificing their children to Molech and worshiping other gods and all these kind of things. And it was detestable. But the one thing, and he spends 2 hours rebuking the nation over the false prophets that are operating there in Israel. And these are people that they're shunning this word of repentance. They're shunning this word that says we need to get right with God or some rough things are going to come upon us. And instead, these guys are standing up and prophesying about only blessings and only goodness. And things are wonderful and great things are going to happen to us. And it's all just lovey-dovey and things are going to be wonderful. Listen, the way that you know, God loves us enough. He's not going to keep us in a place of compromise, in sin, in brokenness. Now listen, God wants to bless you. But God doesn't want to bless you in the midst of all this ugliness and sin in your life. Listen, if there's authentic prophecy, I've had this so many times in my life where I'm receiving a prophetic word, and immediately what comes into my heart is, listen, if I'm going to walk this out, I know I need to get these things straight. I know I need to pray that much more. If I'm going to see this thing fulfilled, I know I need to go into fasting. There's a correction that comes into my heart if there are things that are out of order. This is how authentic prophecy works. Now, if you just get somebody that's telling you're just going to be a winner all the days of your life and you're living in blatant sin, question those words. Question those words. This is what my wife was talking about. I mentioned this during our transition time. Hebrews 12:27 says that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And right now, we see, I mean, if you guys been watching, you turn on the news every day, there's some new Hollywood person that's being exposed for the scandal in their lives. Every day we're reading about some politician being exposed for scandal in their lives. And we're seeing it happen in the church as well. I don't know what God is doing in our nation, but it's exciting to me. What he's doing is he's exposing darkness in every facet. It's happening in churches. It's happening in politics. It's happening in Hollywood. It's happening all across the board. God is exposing darkness. But what is also happening is there's, like I said before, because we see ugliness coming to the surface, don't be discouraged. Okay? Because when you see ugliness, when you see sin, when you see darkness being exposed, we also understand that God's intention is to pour out his spirit, to release redemption. It's not that we're going to see the devil and his activity rise up and intensify and increase, and boy, Christianity is going to fade off into nothingness as we see the Antichrist and his empire take over the world. That's not how it's going to operate. We see historic revival being poured out. Now, you know what happens is the gap between. I mean, how many notice? I heard Damon Thompson. This is so awesome. Damon Thompson's a prophet, and he's one that's been, I mean, he's been prophesying, and he's not just a peace, love, and happiness, and lilies and daisies in the field, and let's go frolic. You know, he's not that kind of prophet. He's a prophet that'll share some Ezekiel words every once in a while, and boys, if we don't straighten up here, then there's some hard times that are coming on our lives. But what's amazing is I heard Damon talking recently. This was a sermon he preached just this last week. And I heard him talking about how he is watching individuals who for many years had shunned the gifts of the Holy Spirit and had been ashamed. You know, we're just going to be seeker sensitive. I'm not going to preach anything that's going to offend anybody. We're not going to pray any way that's going to make anybody feel weirded out. And he said he's watching these men and women of God by the dozens return back to preaching the authority of God's word. I mean, guys, I used to get irritated, like, you know, watching, this is just complete transparency, but it ends on a good note. I used to get irritated watching Joel Osteen. This is just me. I used to get irritated, like, bro, you got millions of people that are watching you, but it has been incredible. Have you guys been paying attention to this? This guy has started actually giving altar calls in every service. This guy's actually compelling people to come to repentance. I mean, he's always going to be super encouraging Joel, and that's good. But I've watched, I mean, somebody posted a video here recently about Joel flat out calling out sin and calling people to repentance and then giving a salvation altar call. And I'm thinking, hallelujah. We're watching. Church, what you're going to begin to see, there's been people for many years, they've tried to walk this middle ground. I want to be friends with the world, and I don't want to offend anybody over there, and I'm going to have this form of godliness over here. But what we're watching is that wickedness and evil is arising, but we're watching people become increasingly sold out for God, hungry for revival, wanting to see something so authentic and so real. And what you're going to see is both of these things rising up together. And the question is, which side of the fence are you going to be on? Because there's been a lot of people for an entire generation that we've tried to straddle the fence and, well, I'm just going to do a little bit of both, and it's not going to function. Jesus said that no kingdom divided against itself. You can't have the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. Something is going to fade away. Something is going to give. And I pray and I declare over each and every one of you, it's the kingdom of darkness that's going to crumble in your life, and it's the kingdom of God that's going to be strong and established in Jesus' name. Yeah. So here's another just fun thing. You guys believe in werewolves? Again, I know this is kind of a shotgun mess. I'm just like throwing a bunch at you. But look at, this is interesting. In Daniel chapter 4, look at this. I came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. This is Daniel. And at the end of 12 months, he was walking around in the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, this is Daniel chapter 4, "Is this the great Babylon I've heard from the royal dwelling of my mighty power and for the hour of my majesty?" While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you." How many would like to receive that kind of word in your life? Don't raise your hand. That's a scary, "The kingdom has departed from you." Voice from heaven. "And you shall, they shall drive you from men. Your dwelling will be at the beasts of the field. They will make you eat grass like oxen, and 7 times shall pass over you until you know that the Lord Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses." That very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men, ate grass like an oxen. His body was wet with dew, and his hair had grown out like eagle's feathers, and his nails were like bird's claws. That's freaky right there. This man, because of a curse that came upon his life, literally became looking like a werewolf. I mean, think about this. This is straight Bible, okay? And so, you know, is it possible for this kind of stuff? I never forget sitting and talking with a buddy of mine. He'd come to Christ for the Nations from Jamaica, and he was talking about vampires and werewolves in particular. He's like, and you know, somebody had made this remark, "Oh, that's just stupid, you know, none of that's real." And he's like, "Bro," he's like, "there are people in Jamaica who form entire religious systems around vampirism and around werewolves. They'll drink blood. And he says, I'm telling you, they will manifest the characteristics that you'll see in Hollywood movies. Their skin will grow pale. They'll grow the teeth. He doesn't know. I mean, it's not like they're actually feeding on bodies or anything like this, but they will drink human blood as part of their worship, and they'll manifest these characteristics. Guys, it's creepy kind of stuff. Same thing with werewolves. You hear people in Indian, like Native American religion, talking about skinwalkers and these, you know, shapeshifters. I think there's truth to some of that kind of stuff. I really think that there is. And here's the point. We're not going there. We're not doing that, okay? But I want you to be aware of the reality of some of this kind of stuff, because, guys, I'm telling you, you know that atheism is actually on the decline right now? We're watching Christianity, but what's happening right now? You see it in the trends in Hollywood right now. Why is it? I shared a couple weeks ago, eight of the top 10 movies are all dealing with supernatural beings, superheroes, horror movies, ghosts, and all this kind of stuff. Why? People around the world have an increasing awareness and curiosity about the things of the supernatural. They just do. People want to know. And this is why I believe more than ever, as men and women of God, we need to be so intentional. God, we have to be operating in power. Because if we're not endued with power, if we can't go and lay hands on somebody and see them recover, if we can't pray for somebody who's being harassed by the devil, being harassed by what they believe is a dead relative, being harassed by whatever it is that's going on in their life, if we can't minister in those kinds of situations, guess what? They're going to go to a witch doctor. They're going to go to some seance. They're going to go practice some other religion where they feel like, and maybe they do get some kind of answer and they see some stuff happening. We, as the church of Jesus, this is why I'm so big, we need to experience God. Not just hear the doctrine and theology and quote the scriptures and sing the songs. I want to see something tangible move in your lives. Amen? But let's contend for this. People ask me about aliens. What does the Bible say about aliens and UFOs? You guys curious about this? Okay. The Bible says absolutely nothing about it, okay? I did a teaching. Here's an interesting thing, though. I did a teaching on the Great Commission yesterday for E-Teams. And when Jesus said, go into all the world, it's in Matthew 28, it is in Mark 16. When Jesus went and he said, go into all the world, make disciples, go into all the world, preach the gospel. We know the Great Commission. When he said, go into all the world, that word world means, it's the Greek word cosmos. So, what I want to do, you got guys out there like Elon Musk. I follow Tesla. I want to drive a Tesla one day. But this guy's got a space program, and he said that he wants to die on Mars. Okay, and not on like entry into Mars, like he wants to go and live on Mars and then live out the rest of his life there. And so I'm praying about the first KC extension on Mars. And I'm not really, but hey, if people go and start living there, you know, Jesus didn't say word, though, when he says go and preach the gospel or make disciples in all the world. World is not the best word that's used. It's cosmos. It's literally in all the universe and all the known galaxy. Okay, we're getting into Star Wars theology here. Like this is man, we need to go wherever there's people. This is what I when I was forming my mission statement for my I struggled with, my heart is primarily for the United States, but I like going to other nations. And so I was asking some counsel in my life if, you know, so should I call this international ministry or this? And their response was, they said, you know, Jonathan Edwards, he would say that the world is his pulpit. The world is his parish. And so he's like, the only question I ever ask when I receive an invitation is, are there lost people there? Are there lost people there? And so listen, I don't care if we're going on a mission trip overseas. I don't care if we decide, you know, there's now a colony of people living on Mars. I don't know if that'll happen in our lifetime or not. But if there's lost people there, guess what? They need Jesus. And the Bible also says, it uses that same word that it said, when it says that Jesus is the Savior of the cosmos. And so here's the deal. If there are aliens out there, I know this is weird. I'm getting some blank stares now. I'll move on. If there are aliens out there, guess what? They need to be saved the same way that we. They're not going to bring some new. They might bring a new religious system, but they still need Jesus. And so, I don't know. If you want to start an international Martian ministry, let me know. That'll be a fun conversation with Dr. Morocco if I ever went to him. Dr. Morocco, something on our hearts. No. I think that's pretty good. I was going to talk about Ouija boards. Don't do Ouija boards. That's what I'll say about that, okay? Don't touch it. Don't go there, okay? I mean, that's really, it's, you know, Jumanji, yeah. All right, it's time to close. I can tell. We're going to end on a good note, though. Are you guys blessed this morning? I really feel like the life and the joy of the Lord in this house. I really praise God, man. We ought to be thankful. You know, people get in a lot of hurt looking towards these things as a foundation of hope. And they find themselves in incredible bondage because all they want, they want an answer for this void that we feel inside of us. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that we're capable of more than we see in this physical world around us. Everybody knows that there's a supernatural world, and people are seeking answers for it. And I just thank God that we found it. I've dabbled in some of this other stuff, and I'm just so thankful for Jesus. Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet, and Colleen, could you come and just play quietly on the piano right here? And I've just got a closing prayer for us this morning. I want every head bowed, every eye closed across the room here, even those that you might be joining us online right now. If you're here today, you hear me talk about how thankful I am to have Jesus, to have filled that void, to have His Holy Spirit. Man, I remember a time where I was so curious, and I would ask the question, how do I know that the Christians have got it right? Maybe the Buddhists do. Maybe this other religion, maybe the Muslims have it right. Maybe these spiritual people over here have it right. And I remember asking those questions and exploring those things, but as I looked into each and every one of them, I just felt more and more empty. And I'll never forget the day God, He raised me up from the dead of a drug overdose, and He'd been merciful to me when I'd gotten a DUI and I'd been kicked out of school. And I'll never forget the day. It wasn't in a church service, it wasn't in a powerful prayer meeting, but I sat just me and Jesus on the corner of my bed, and I said, God, I feel like you're giving me such an opportunity here. And I just prayed so simply, if you're real, then I want you to use me. If you're real, would you come into my life in this void, this emptiness that I felt for so many years? Would you fill that? And I'm telling you, as I sat on the corner of my bed that evening, all hell had broken loose in my life, but I sat there and I felt this peace of God that began to come into my life. I began to feel hope where the days before, as I was dealing with this DUI, I'd contemplated suicide. And I just thought, I'm going to end this now. But I had this incredible hope and joy and this expectancy that God was going to do something great in my life. And maybe you're here and you say, I don't know if I've ever felt that. If you're here and you're looking for answers and you're seeking the supernatural, I'm telling you, what you're looking for is found in Jesus. And I want to pray with you this morning. All we have to do, the same thing I did that day, I just invited Him to come, and I believed in Him with my heart. I made a profession of faith with my mouth. And you know what? I've never turned around since that day. I've been going hard after Him ever since that time. And so, and nobody's looking around, but if you're here and you say, you know what, Pastor Jacob, I feel that void that you're talking about. I feel empty, but I want to have that same deal you're talking about. I want the Spirit of God to fill every void in my life. If that's you today, would you just lift up your hand so I know who I'm talking to here in this place? Hallelujah. I see that hand. Yeah, I see that hand. God bless you, ma'am. I see that hand in the back. Bless you, sir. Yeah, I see that hand. Are there any others? Are there any others? Okay, this is the second thing that I want to pray towards. Still, nobody looking around. Maybe you're here and you say, you know what, Pastor Jacob, I have sinned. I know Jesus is my Savior, but Man, when you're talking about some of this, I've been curious about this. I've done some of these things, and I just need, I know God is bringing some conviction in my life over some of the things that I've done and maybe opened my life to, and I just want Jesus to forgive me. If that's you, if you just say, I need Jesus to forgive me. I've gone some places. I've done some things that I should not have done. If you say, I want Jesus to forgive me, would you lift up your hand so I know who I'm praying for? Many hands. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. I want to lead everybody in a prayer right now. Lead everybody in a prayer right now. I want you to pray out loud with me right now. Pray, dear Jesus, I ask you, Lord, to forgive me. I have sinned. I've fallen short of your high and holy standard. But I thank you, Lord, I don't have to earn salvation. I don't have to earn your forgiveness. I don't have to earn freedom. All I have to do is receive what you purchased through your shed blood. And so today, I ask you, Lord, come into my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. This emptiness I feel, I pray, fill me. Release your peace into my life. Release your freedom into my life. Give me discernment to see what is you and what is not. What's your Holy Spirit and what's a demonic spirit? What's the kingdom of God and what's darkness? Show me, Lord. Show me your path and give me power to walk after you every day. Be my Savior, be my Lord, and my very best friend. I give my life to you. Live your life through me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we close, I just want you to take the hand of the person right next to you. And this is what I want to ask. I want you to pray that power that I was talking about a moment ago. Church, the Bible says that the earth is literally groaning. It is literally crying out for the revealing of the manifestations of the sons and the daughters of God. You know what that means? That means that we're going to, somebody told me right before service was beginning here that there was a massive earthquake in, was it Iraq? In Iraq. And guys, we're going to continue to see this kind of stuff until Jesus comes back. I mean, every day it feels like there's a new natural disaster, some terror attack, something that's going on. And you know what that is? Every time I see that, I see the Lord is calling people to come to Him. But the earth is literally crying out, when are the men and women of God going to be who God has called them to be? And church, I'm just going to say, we're going to declare, we're going to pray for one another that God will empower and use each and every one here in this place, that we will be who God has called us to be, that we will release the kingdom of God everywhere that we go. So as I begin to pray, I want you to pray that the presence and the power of God Almighty would rest upon each and every one. The person that you're holding hands with, pray that the kingdom of God would come upon them in a mighty, in a powerful way. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, God, that when you went up to heaven, when you ascended from this life, you poured out your Holy Spirit. And God, I believe that what we are stepping into, what we are preparing for, is the greatest outpouring of your Holy Spirit in history. God, we say, we're available. Use us. Send us. Anoint us. God, endue us with power from on high, according to your word. I just declare over each and every person within the sound of my voice, God, that you're going to use us for your glory and for your namesake. Your power is going to rest upon us. And God, when you quicken us, when you inspire us to release the prophetic, to cast out a demon, to pray over an atmosphere, to preach your gospel, to show your love, to be your you manifest in the world today. Lord, I pray we will be obedient. We will be responsive. We will respond when you speak to us, Lord. So I thank you for the empowering of your Holy Spirit. I thank you that you're using and you're raising us up to build your kingdom and just to destroy the works of the enemy, just as you did, Jesus. So empower us and use us. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody say, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.